The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Taking Stock on Tuesday, the 4th of July, 2023. I'm joined by John Heumann. You're all right, John?
Not too bad, Justin. How are you doing?
You know, let's not forget, American markets are closed today because they're celebrating getting rid of the British, essentially, aren't they? Out of their lives and moving on. And,
getting rid of the British markets would be a good start.
Yeah. In fact, they've done well there because, of course, valuations are higher in America. Everything's higher. S&P's at new highs. NASDAQ is up from a bear market. And everything over this side of the pond. It's knackered, essentially. So,
it would appear to be the case.
Yeah, hopefully the valuations are good, though. So, anyway, on today's show, looking at top business news, investment views, including the indices, winners and losers, most read RNS, RNS the day, chart of the day, and more. So, let's start off with the winners and losers. And one of the biggest winners today, John, is Alba Mineral Resources. Now, I think have you chatted to George today?
I spoke to George Frangiski, the executive chairman, about half an hour ago.
Yeah, so what's the deal? What's happened? They've finally got a grant to dewatering permit, haven't they?
That's right, yeah. So it's taken them 2 years to get this permit and 4 years of surveying. They've had to do, extraordinary amounts of work to get the appropriate ecological permits from Natural Resources Wales. Absolutely massive project. And, there was no guarantee that it would be granted, given, the sort of ecological sensitivity there. But it was, and they're ready to go. They took the chance, got their equipment ready for the next phase, and they're off. So this is really, really good news for the company. I think shares were up about 70% last time I looked.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in fact, let me just share the screen here. This is, I'll show you disabled there, but up 70%. But essentially, that would prove they were protecting the bats and the otters. Isn't that the case, I think? And then the Welsh Environment Agency, yes, fine. To get the gold out, you have to
this
protect
is
the
correct.
Bats and the otters.
Yeah, this is correct. And, basically what had happened is this mine, which is a historical mine, it was mined many, many years ago, but then sort of left. It's filled up with water.
Yeah.
And so all that water has to then be removed, and that water's also got to go somewhere. So they've had to do things like testing water quality to make sure that it's safe to put back in the river, which it is. Every kind of ecological concern has been addressed with this project. And they're ready now to get going with phase two.
Okay, James, I want to share my screen, but apparently it's disabled. So if James can allow me to share my screen, I can do that. But let's move on to it. There's quite a few movers today. That jumped into first position, Alba, but Zenova is also up by about, let me just go on the front screen of Vox here. Zenova is a big jumper as well. It's up about 30% today. Have you seen the news there? It's the FX500 aerosol fire extinguisher shipment to Germany. And that's worth a retail value of 1.2 million.
I thought this was yesterday, this news.
Oh, is it? Maybe have a look here.
I thought it was.
Yes, it is. I looked at news. And why is it reacting today then? That's odd.
Well, who knows? Who knows? But I mean, it is a big, perhaps it just took the market.
Oh, there we are. There's Alba Mineral Resources. Look at that big updated 52% there. But Zed, was that late yesterday? Maybe that was that.
It was out in the morning. Maybe the market's just a bit slow on the uptake with this one. I mean, it's not new news in itself. We knew this contract had been agreed. What is happening is it seems to be getting bigger. They've put some real numbers on it. Yeah. This is a really exciting little company. It's out near my way. It's in Brentwood, in Essex, my old manor. And this is a really interesting product because what it actually does, it's the formulation means it's suitable for all types of fire, and especially lithium ion fire. Now this is kind of a big problem as we move into the battery age because as we all know, some of these batteries have a tendency to blow up.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I was talking today with Joanne Hart, Midas Column. She was talking about Invinity Energy Systems. They use vanadium flow batteries. And of course, they aren't prone to that. And that's one of the big safety issues that lithium ion has. And in fact, we talked about a horrible story out today about an e-bike being charged by this family in Cambridgeshire, the Oxford, and it caught a light. Right, set the house on fire. So, yeah, there is that problem with lithium-ion batteries.
Yeah, it used to be the old mobility scooters that caught fire, but now everyone's got a battery-powered vehicle. cool. So yeah, no, this is really interesting news for this company. As I say, perhaps people have come to it a day late.
Yeah, yeah. Another one, a big rise of the day, and I did hold some stock in this company. I actually made a bit of money on it, and then I decided to get out because I thought they're going to need to raise money. Also, I was questioning the valuation. This is Couth, and $188 million four-year contract in California. They have a sort of mental health well-being app that's the most widely used in the NHS. I really like this company. They are very punch on evaluation. I think they were at before this, they were valued, this is why I got out, about $90 million market cap. They did about $20 million revenue for the year. They've already got a contract in the US, but then they announced this Californian contract. They didn't announce numbers behind it until today, and I thought, they've rallied very strongly. I'll get out a little bit, and I'll wait, because they may have to do a fundraise to get enough staff to help this launch of this in California. But what I didn't figure on is them raising money at a premium, which is not, you don't do that in the market these days, do you?
Not at the moment. I mean, it's hard enough to raise money at a discount for a lot of companies. So yeah, this is really. I mean, it speaks to the quality of what it's doing. You know, my understanding is that California, which is where this has been signed, it's a big contract. It follows a smaller contract that they've signed in Pennsylvania. but I understand that they. Californian health authorities beauty paraded 450 providers before they selected Couth. So, you know, that really speaks volumes of the quality of its offering.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's
a gap up on the chart there. I mean, people are watching it, you can listen to this on podcast, but if you're watching the video here and live, there's a massive gap. And I sort of got out of my own thing here. I did have the benefit of this rise for the 34%. And I thought it's coming down low. They're going to need to raise money. But like I said, I didn't see that happening.
Yeah.
It's even now, what is it? It's above that £3 where they're raising money at £10 million. It's at £3.50. So it's, wow. That's an amazing
move. I just think people really, you know, are starting to wake up to the scale of the issue that Couth's offering is addressing. And, you know, California is spending $4.7 billion in youth behavioural health. You know, it is this COVID hangover. It is, you know, there is a mental health crisis, whether that was just COVID or whether it's the modern age or, you know, the age of, you know, social media, which creates enormous social pressures, which we know a lot of young people are suffering with. This is a big problem, and Couth's in exactly the right space to help with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, as you know, there are a huge amount of awareness now about mental health. And for a long time, you know, people say, well, if you've got a physical injury, you can take time off. But if you are, you know, injured mentally, there's no resource for that. But it has been getting around to that. People realize, you know, everyone has good and bad days. Some people, you know, suffer from long-term mental health issues. And so it's almost preventing that happening with these kind of apps, which, yeah, huge area, massive area.
Yeah.
I did like it, but... I made a mistake here. I shouldn't have got out of health, you know. Right?
Well, yeah. What is it? A colleague of mine once described that as premature ejection.
Yeah.
Something you don't want to suffer from.
Let's look at the other end of the scale. Recently, Aptima Group, right, they jumped significantly. They're basically a developer of novel Optima binders to enable innovation in life sciences. They announced a trading update today, and they basically said, revenue is going to be 1.75 million, but at the end there, the cash balance is 200 grand.
Now, it's the running out of cash thing. This is problematic. Yes. You never want to see this.
No, you don't. In this market, you don't want to see that. And I think they jumped significantly recently. Maybe if I share the screen here, they jumped. There we are. They announced. Well, I should go back and see what this news was. But they jumped significantly. It's at 94% on some kind of a partnership with another company. We should look it up. But they did announce, I mean, they're looking for cash, basically. And in this market, it's a vicious circle, isn't it? If you go out there and say, we're looking to raise money, that reduces your share price. Then, of course, if you're going to, you know, most companies, apart from Couth, can raise, but there'll be a discount. So that'll bring that down even further, and the company goes down further. So, but you've got to, you know, you've got to tell the market how much cash you have, I suppose. And you've got to, saying that, it's a very grey area. I've seen many companies not mention how much cash they have in a trading update and then do a fundraise. So they get the bullish news out there in the trading update and then do a fundraise off the back of that. But they've been very transparent. They're saying they need to raise money. In fact, they did say that the last RNS, actually. So they have taken a massive knock. And the chart, look at that, isn't good. It's gone from, what, just moved my head, 140. I peeled around 140 and it's down at now 4 pence.
That's, it's a tricky old sector, you know. We look at biotechs and small, you know, sort of healthcare companies quite a lot, and it is a race. It's a race against cash burn, you know, always, yeah. Always. You know, this company's doing some great things. The news you're referring to was it's partnering on a test for Alzheimer's, a lateral flow test. This is potentially great news. You know, again, a disease, if you catch it early, you know, it can really sort of help manage the condition. So, you know, lots of companies out there developing great things, but always a race, you know, a race against the regulator, a race against running out of money.
Yeah, talk about regulators, which is breaking news, Thames Water has been fined over $3 million for sewage spills. So that's on top of the issues they have. But there we are.
We'll come on to that because we're going to talk about Rip Off Britain in a minute.
Yeah. I've never, another company, big faller today, that's down about 30-odd%. Aptima, another big faller today is Restore Group. It's a bit bigger, this company, but another trading update. They did say they are apparently the leading provider of digital and information management and secure lifestyle services. The trading update, they say they continue to deliver revenue growth of its core business, but they do say here, board anticipate adjusted profit before tax be lower than previously expected, will be £31 million for the full year. And they also announced, by mutual consent, apparently this is, the CEO, Charles Bligh, stepping down. I wonder how mutual that was.
Sounds like football manager mutual consent.
Yeah. Basically, Charles, you're at the door. You say it's by mutual consent, otherwise we'd just kick you out anyway. That's the way. Yeah, did, push till you jump.
Did they give a reason for the profit warning?
Do you know what? In fact, I should click the link here, but no, they probably have, but I haven't gone into that far. But
I mean, it is interesting. You know, you would have thought that in an environment such as this, where, you know, all companies are trying to manage costs, yeah, as tightly as possible, and obviously Restore will have costs to deal with as well, that companies will perhaps be scaling back certain types of investment at this point. And I think you said the weakness in its technology business. So,
oh, there we are. So I look at this here. technology business, reduction in demand for certain service lines since the last update, particularly in bulk digital scanning, and that the price of recycled shredded paper has significantly fallen in the past month, with this trend anticipated to continue H2. Okay.
That's quite interesting, That's quite interesting. So as it's managing records, it's creating its waste product, which it then can sell on, and that will boost its profits. Now, there are a number of companies listed in London.
I wasn't aware of that as a revenue stream. That's amazing.
You wouldn't have thought it, but these are the funny things, you know. It's why you've really got to dig into businesses sometimes. But, you know, we had a period where, you know, bulk paper prices went through the absolute roof, you know, as we were coming out of the pandemic, and, you know, demand for packaging to support the e-commerce boom had gone absolutely garrety. But you know, I think, like all things, it's just sort of part of this inflationary cycle, and it's part of the demand cycle. And as inflation moderates and demand moderates, they're not unrelated things. You know, these are the kind of things that will perhaps catch investors by surprise if they don't look in detail at the businesses behind, you know, and what makes up their profits.
Yeah. Most read RNS, by the way, you can see this all on some of these stats on the front page of Vox. Just scroll down below the news items. In fact, don't, you know, if John's written an article, I've written an article, don't scroll past it, click on it and read it. But, you know, scroll down, you'll see all these stats. Most read RNS out today is Predator Oil and Gas, as well a followed company. MOU4, commencement of drilling. I don't know much about them. I did, when they first came to the market, I've got to say, I did buy some stock in this because they raised some money and they were valued at like $3 million market cap. And they had some huge potential there. I mean, it's all exploration and all that stuff, but you know, the NPVs are massive and all that stuff. So I just took a bit of stock in it. It did it three or four, it's in the bull market. It did three or four times its IPO. And Paul, the CEO, did say, we did list deliberately quite cheap to get the bargain hunters out there. I don't know if that's the case, but it did really well. But since then, it's had a lot of followers. But now it's like a 70 million market cap, I think. But nevertheless, they're ploughing on with that. It's always well followed. And Paul and the team, they know this stuff, very experienced stuff, but it's well followed. I did put RNS of the day there. I don't know if you've got one, but I do think Couth is the RNS of the day because, as I said, amazing contract with California. California is bigger than the UK, you know, population-wise, I believe. So it's a huge area. It's a massive, you know, deal, that. And like I said, they're in a very hot sector. And so I do like Couth, and I wish I hadn't got out, and I wish I'd stuck in there. But it's one of those companies definitely put on your watch list, because it's only going to get bigger. And winning that kind of contract just attracts, you know, more interest from other big sort of areas, isn't it? Other potential clients and customers, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the world is its oyster here. This is leading-edge stuff. I mean, you've got to put Alba up there as well as a candidate for RNS today.
Yeah,
I mean,
fair play. They've been working for a long time. And whenever you work with regulators, it's hard work, especially if it's with an environment. And in Wales, I know it's particularly hard to work in Wales with regulators. I've had experience with that. But, yeah, finally they've got that over the line, you know?
So I suppose, I mean, there's it's a really interesting statement, but there's a lot more detail in the interview, which will be up on the site very shortly.
Yeah, check that out. Most followed companies there today. One Disco. I know a while back the CFO did a magic trick with his wand and he got rid of some money, or the money disappeared in some way.
I think was actually the case.
Are they? I didn't realise they were. Are they now back trading again? Oh, they are, aren't they? Yeah, by looks of it, I think. March the 8th is the last time they were trading. So I don't know why people are following that unless they're coming. Result of fundraise, July the 4th.
Well, they've raised some money.
Ah, okay.
They've raised some money. So they've raised a fairly, and you know, unlike Couth, it's a massive, massive discount to the price at which it was last trading. This was a horror show. I mean, this is the kind of thing that gives markets a bad name.
They've raised money at what price?
Have a look. It's
30 million equity fundraise at the offer price of 50 pence per share. Hang on, they were 13 quid a share. Is that right?
Yep, that is correct.
That's probably one of the biggest discounts I've ever seen.
Pretty chunky. It's pretty chunky. I mean, this was a disaster zone, what happened at this company.
Yeah. So they're looking at trading on 7th of July. So what is that? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday, maybe Friday. 7th of July. They're relisting at 7:30 a.m. That
Friday.
Be interesting to watch that come back online there. Wow.
Yeah, we'll have a chat about it then.
But, yeah.
No, this was honestly, it's one of the worst things. I really don't know how they didn't catch it. Essentially, they were bogus sales figures.
Yeah.
And I really don't know how they didn't have the systems in place to catch that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, the only protection as an investor you have against that is diversification. If you have a company in your portfolio that's, you know, high fly, you think it's going to the moon at that, you should never, ever go, you know, 100% on it, even 50% on it, because... Yeah, it's very rare that you have CFOs or whoever a board member manipulating the figures, but it does happen. You know, I think was it Patisserie Valerie a while back, wasn't it? It happened to them, and that was a cracking company. So it does happen. So, you know, if your stock is lumped into one company and that happens, it's literally going to, like I said, almost close to zero. So
This was quite a big company as well. You know, this wasn't a small company that this happened to. This was, you know, probably in excess of £1 billion in terms of its valuation. Yeah. I mean, I like tech, but I never really got my head around what this company did.
No, I didn't either. I didn't know the valuation. I didn't understand it at all. I covered it once on a webinar. I don't understand the valuation here. And there's a lot of talk and hype around it and what they could be achieving. But I said, but even so, that was very much priced in, I thought.
The thing is, you know, you do wonder, like, so apparently what it does is, you know, make sure that in the cloud environment, all your data is basically synced. You think, okay, fair enough. But then I kind of always thought, but isn't one of the big tech companies doing that as well? But then, you know, they seem to be picking up all these wins. You think, you know, maybe they've got something different. But then it turns out that a lot of those wins weren't wins at all.
They've got something different.
Yeah, well, they've got something different.
A fraudulent member of the board. That's what they've got. That's their selling point.
I think it was someone in the sales team actually that they.
Oh
they
yeah, fraudulent member of the sales team. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. So I think you know you, the trust in this business has gone. Mm. It's gone.
It's a trader stock now. You've raised a bit of
absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely.
It may see a little bounce. Apart from that being most followed, there was Couth, and you know, we know why. Atlantic Lithium is why. I talked to Neil Herbert recently. They just got the DFS out on their Awoya lithium project in Ghana there, and it's looking good. Share price went down. I don't know why. The cost went up a bit. That's because they're expecting to be mining more faster. EBITDA went up, and it's worth checking out the figures on that. They're really impressive. I think it's like $315 million of EBITDA over the life of mine every year annually. So, it's very impressive. Chart of the day, I want to show you this. I get alerts now and again, but are you aware of Dark Trace?
I am aware of Dark Trace. It's another one of those companies. You know, for me, it feels... It was talked of in the same breath as WAN Disco when all that was kicking off, because there was a short selling report on Dark Trace.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's AI enabled cybersecurity. You know what? You'd expect that to be
AI
very hot, but there's a lot of question marks over this. And you know, again, you kind of think, well, what exactly do they do? What exactly are they doing? And I think as a business, they've failed to articulate that, beyond the sort of hype. And this is why you see this chart as it is now. It's also got a guy called Mike Lynch involved in it. And Mike Lynch, if you remember, was involved in a company called Autonomy. In fact, he founded a company called Autonomy, which was sold to Hewlett-Packard. And then all sorts of shenanigans kicked off. I think their CFO ended up in prison.
Hasn't he just been extradited to the US?
And he was extradited to the US. So there is that. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that anything untoward is going on at Dark Trace, but there is this, you know, the cloud that hangs over them.
Yeah, well, this is not a fundamental reason to look at them. But if you look at this chart there, we see the IPO'd back in April. The hype and the AI and all that stuff has really taken them from, £3.8. Let me just move my head there. Up to 10 quid, pretty much. And all of a sudden, they fell off a cliff, probably, I'm assuming, because that short-selling coverage they had, and maybe because their fundamentals weren't stacking up on that valuation. And this is a typical hype cycle stock. You get the first, you know, you can make a lot of money in hype stocks straight away very quickly, but you've got to be prepared to get out if it starts going wrong. But then the tyres hit the road when the fundamentals, and people start looking at the valuation. But what we've got here is pretty much, we've had this, you know, a series of higher lows here coming up. So we can see, you know, a couple of times it's gone up and down, and every low is one higher. And now they've crossed the 50-day moving average. The price has crossed the 200-day moving average, which is the red one. And now the 50-day is crossing the 200-day, which is largely regarded as the golden cross. And that's the start of a very strong uptrend. Now, I wouldn't invest basically on that and check out fundamentals as well. But if they need to sort of get above this, I suppose, the last previous hive, 340, round about there, and it looks good. So as long as there's a lower high, we're looking good. But the chart...
Yeah, so this bit here, I think, you know, where it hits that bottom, the trough of disillusionment in the high hype cycle. And, you know, there tends to be an overly, you know, when things have come out of being, you know, super hyped, there does tend to be a swing too far in the other direction sometimes. Like the dot-com crash, you know.
Yeah.
The internet's going to change. The internet was going to change the world, and then it didn't change it quite as quickly as everyone expected. And a lot of companies went bust, and then, you know, the whole market absolutely, you know, sank. But look at what happened next. You know, it did change the world, and you had these companies like Amazon, which were around in the dot-com boom, that emerged from that and have obviously become these trillion-dollar companies that they are today.
Yeah, it's that saying, isn't it? I mean, I like to say, with any new technology, it's like it's overestimated in the short term. And then the big hype comes in and valuations go crazy. Then it's sold off massively. So you go from one extreme to the other, and then it's underestimated in the long term. Like
yeah,
now,
I think
it's like,
I think that's a Bill Gates quote. I think, yeah, I think it's people overestimate the change that will happen in 1 year and underestimate the change that will happen in 10.
Yeah, yeah.
But and so, I think that happens to a lot of tech stocks, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, the internet. I was reading an article, in fact, it was a book last night, a drama book, where someone disappeared off the grid, apparently. And someone said, that's impossible in this day and age. You can't do it. You can't even, you know, book a hotel room without being online these days. And you need ID and all that stuff. And it's true. You can't exist, really, without online anymore. That's how profound an effect the internet has had on our lives. It's embedded in everything we do. But, you know, and we saw that initial hype. And now we're seeing that with AI, and you realize it will be embedded in everything we do going forward. But it won't be just, you know, like I remember back in the day, small companies were changing the name to .com, and they had no, you know, internet offering whatsoever. But they were doing that, and the share price would go up and come back down the next day. But it did double your money on that announcement. But like I said, that chart there. Another one, I think James there works at Vox. His wife, she's working for Moonpig. But this one, Moonpig, for a while, they've come down again. They've had this sort of, you know, hype. They listed 435, pretty much. and they've taken on a bit of debt. But they're starting now to pay down the debt, and their recent bits of news, they've just released final results this week, and they're starting to sort of, you know, fundamentally get a bit stronger. And you can see here, I mean, it's an obvious sort of, you know, bottom here, pretty much where they've, you know, hit from a pound, nice round sort of pound, but they've broken up here now above the 50-day moving average. What I like to look at is when a stock breaks a 50-day moving average like this, I put a circle around it, then they need to break previous highs. So there's a previous high here, because all these indicators are a reflection of the price action, which is a reflection of the volume. Is it net buying? Is it net selling? So it's literally 134. If it breaks that, that's the last time it broke above the 50-day moving average and a high, then maybe it's a good technical sign. And it did break it here, came back down, but it's broke back up, and now it's above 50-day moving average. And again, we've got what's called a golden cross, 50-day crossing the 200-day. So you'd want to see it now break 150. But it's looking like we've seen a bottom here. The downtrend has stopped. The uptrend has started, maybe. But yeah, so I'd say that's looking good. As long as the fundamentals keep improving, that should sort of start going up. But like I said, that high period again, it's, you know, four times where it was now. And it's taken this long through the hype. And I got to say, I'm a customer of Moonpig. It's a lifesaver for me, who pretends to put a bit of effort in, but hasn't really uploaded a couple of pictures in a couple of seconds and send the card off. Done. Hey, it makes me look like a caring sort of, you know,
husband, yeah,
whatever. Anyway, but...
you would admit that live on YouTube.
I know, exactly. Let's move up to some top business stories. And the head of this piece here is very, very much banks and supermarkets are ripping off customers. And, for example, top one, bank chief executives have been summoned by the UK's financial watchdog to address concerns that saving rates are not being passed on. Now, this is how the banks work, isn't it? They basically make money in the difference. In fact, you've been off explaining.
It's the net interest margin.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, you get a return on your deposits. So I put money in the bank, they pay me 0.5%, and then they lend it out at, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%, and they net the difference.
Yeah.
That they're not paying the savers. It didn't always used to be that way. Yeah. It didn't always used to be that, you know, quite as extreme as that. But yeah, this is a post GFC thing. It's you know, the pronounced effects on savings rates since then has really, you know, been appalling. And banks have had a good year, you know, because, you know, as interest rates have risen, they've been able to put up their lending rates and, as you say, haven't put up their savings rates at the same time, and they've, you know, made some very, very healthy profits in the last year.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm going to lump in story three with this, which is the supermarkets. And now they are coming under attack. There's a new scheme aimed at stopping them overcharging fuel. And apparently they've not passed on an extra 6 pence per litre. But, you know, customers are paying more, 6 pence more than they should do. And they said Morrisons and Asda targeted fuel margins for 2023 have doubled and tripled respectively since 2009. So their margins have tripled, and Sainsbury's and Tesco have followed suit. And it's funny today, because there's a trading statement out from Sainsbury's, and Simon Roberts, who's a chief executive, says food inflation is starting to fall and we are fully committed to passing on savings to our customers. I just think it's very odd how this is happening right now. The spotlight is on them and they're being dragged in front of all, you know, all these committees in the government about food inflation or green inflation, whatever they call it. But now they're saying, oh, this is, yeah, the price is coming down now and we can pass that on. Well, you couldn't, like, a couple of weeks back, a month back? I mean, cause I've seen commodity prices going down for a long time. I just find it's odd how the spotlight is on them and now they're passing this on. It's a coincidence of timing here, you know?
Yeah, well, you remember they're also buying a lot of their products from other companies as well. So yeah, they'll do a lot of own brand stuff, but, you know, they're buying from, you know, Nestle, Unilever, you know, whoever else, and you know, prices have sort of gone up across the board. So, you know, there have been lots of accusations of, I think, as you call it, greedflation. So you know, even if you're producing something where the underlying commodity prices haven't and the underlying production costs haven't risen that much because everyone else is putting price up, it gives you air cover to do it. Yeah. So you know, and I mean, we know about inflation. Once prices are up, they're up. I mean, you very rarely see price deflation unless there's like a big technological shift or something like that. But you know, the price of a Snickers will never come down again.
Yeah, no, they get smaller and the
shrinkflation.
Yeah,
shrinkflation.
Exactly. Yeah. So another one you hear about. So the big man treating the poor man badly in a way. It's also energy suppliers, and in fact, it's banks, energy. And these are things. These are things we need. We need to go to the supermarket. We need energy for our houses, and we need to put fuel in our cars. And instead of being taken advantage of on these levels, it really sticks in the consumer's throat, doesn't it? It really annoys people because you should be passing them on. You are earning millions of pounds, and the energy suppliers have been warned now they should retain profits rather than pay out returns to shareholders and dividends because a lot of companies went through over the last, I think we had 22 companies, energy companies went through because they'd hedged too high, too low, or they haven't hedged at all, whatever, and so they had no money. And they're saying rather than paying money out now to dividend or shareholders via dividends, you should hold some of that to cushion the blow of these, energy swings. And I said, we've seen Thames now, fine. It is odd how, literally, these companies, they've come under the spotlight as well, the water companies, for sewage, pumping sewage into... I read once, there was like 800 inflows a day into the river.
It's massive. Yeah, it's massive.
Huge amount. And I say, so how are they going to get around this? Going to invest back into the system, they said, but they're going to have to raise their prices. And you can see why I get some people saying, well, hang on, you paid out this billions in like dividends in the last few years, but yet you're going to sort of, charge people more to deal with that problem. And you could have dealt with that by, paying a little less dividends. So I suppose it's what they're saying. Why do they pay dividends then, John, when they could be sorting out problems?
Because the owners want the dividends.
That's the defence. We want the dividends. Okay?
Well, so who owns Thames Water? It's Macquarie. Very, very few. Yeah. Listed water companies. You've got Pennon. I think Severn Trent still listed. But a lot of water companies are privately owned. In fact, a lot of big infrastructure assets are privately owned these days. It's the way it works. And they want the returns, and they think they can cut corners. Mm-hmm. And then you have to ask yourself questions about their lobbying influence. This stuff has been happening in plain sight for decades.
Yeah.
For decades. You've had, the Conservatives have been in government for more than a decade, could have addressed some of these things, haven't addressed many of these things. We've known that the water infrastructure was crumbling for a long, long time. The energy market in the UK is structured in a nonsensical way. So the reason we had such high prices for energy is because every bit of electricity produced is priced at the highest marginal cost of production, which has been gas.
Yeah.
Forget that renewables are energy, cheaper to generate with. Everything's priced off gas. They could change that. It's different in Europe. They don't. We need more sources of power, including arguably, and some might disagree, nuclear. But we've been, for want of a better word, fannying around, not building anything for a long, long time.
And it's also annoying as well with the water companies. I think this is correct. You can't choose who your water provider is, can you? You can't say, don't like this company. I want to go with this company because they're better customer service. They treat you better. It's literally, you have to go with where you are, basically. So it's a bit of a monopoly,
Maybe. Maybe, but they try. But water is not more. Water is a relatively cheap cost. The household cost than say energy. But the energy market where you were given ridiculous amounts of choice. That was the way they wished to structure the market, a properly free market approach. What happened there? Just ended in loads of companies collapsing.
Yeah.
Until the point where there were so few suppliers left that you've actually got no choice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, this is all catastrophic market failure, which is a great shame because, a capitalist approach can work. But all we've done is push that capitalist model to the limits with these kind of national infrastructure companies. These things are of national importance in everyone's lives. We've allowed crony capitalists to run riot over it. Now we're at a point where there's genuine talk of renationalisation. And that's not going to make things better either, incidentally.
No, exactly. So what is the solution? That's true, isn't it? When you think, critical infrastructure and needs like energy and water and all that, you think that shouldn't be run for profit, really, because it would be nice. Well, it'd be nice also to say this company, this water company has, put the least amount of sewage into the rivers. They treat their customers very well. I want to go with them. But you can't really do that. So it's really...
Well,
system doesn't really work, does it?
You know? But it sort of is based on that. I mean, they have sort of leak targets. You know, the amount of water that leaks out of our infrastructure every year. They have leak management targets. So they do, you know, when they have their settlement, this happens every few years, where it's decided by the regulator how much profit they're allowed to make. Okay. You know, that's based on their performance in previous years in things such as managing leaks. But you know, really, really quite important. The problem I think we have with these large industries, and I think you could include telecoms in this as well, and banking, is that really, you know, the regulators in this country over the past, well, however many years, have just been asleep at the wheel. Either asleep at the wheel or they've been captured by the industries they're supposed to be regulating.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, it's a big job. So,
sorry, I've gone all political.
That's fine. apart from that, let's just finish off quickly. I'm going to share my screen here. And in fact, let's go to the official London Stock Exchange to see you know, what the indices are like. So we've got FTSE up 0.23%, 7544. FTSE also up. It's all green today. It's been
nice
awful
to see some green.
Yeah, last few weeks have been awful. Like I said, the AIM all share hit is an all-time low of 750. Not all-time low, but the most recent low. The last low was in October at 775. It's down below that. But it's jumped up. So we are seeing green on the screen. It's nice to see. AstraZeneca is the biggest riser there in the FTSE 100. Thanks for that, John. Take your stock. Speak tomorrow.
Yeah, speak tomorrow, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.